Blog Talk Radio.
You can't do that. What are you thinking? You are not good enough. You are not going to get that job. You don't have an education. What? That is for smart people, not you. That outfit doesn't look good on you. You look ridiculous. You want to go where? With what? Money you don't have? Remember, you're broke and worthless. Nobody loves you. This is the voice of the toxic ego, the voice that is holding you back from your divine life. Dr. Nydia is here to guide you in learning to let go of this voice. She is here to teach you inner work, a journey through the soul, to empower you in creating a passageway to spiritual development. Dr. Nydia received her PhD from Union Institute and University in Psychology with emphasis in addiction studies. She is a registered clinical social worker intern and received her master's degree from Barry University. She is a certified addiction professional for the state of Florida. She is also a Reiki master, healing touch practitioner, and a master hypnotherapist. For more information, visit her website at www.dranidia.com, Dr. Nydia. Now, please welcome your host of Inner Work, Dr. Nydia.
And good afternoon, this is Dr. Nydia.
Good afternoon, this is Alma. And here with us is Betty.
Betty.
The really collaborating Spanish with us. So, today we are talking about values.
Value.
Mm-hmm. What is the value?
Values is the principle that guide our conduct.
I don't know. you know my English is
same in Spanish.
Son los principios que guían nuestra conducta.
Principles that guide our conduct or behavior.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's say that's so. What are some values?
Some values.
Yes.
Be honest.
Honest.
Colaborador.
Mm-hmm. Collaborative.
Uh-huh. A lot of values.
Okay. Well, you value your life, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a value. Mm-hmm. You value your family.
Uh-huh.
What wouldn't you do for your family?
Right. Mm-hmm.
If your mother called you up right now and said, I have a problem, I need you.
Yeah, I leave you here.
I gotta go. My mother needs me.
It depends.
I need to ask her why.
Why she needs me.
Right, because your mother sometimes overreacts.
Yeah, I
know. But what I'm saying is that for the most part, if your mother called you and she were hysterical, she's not a hysterical type person,
yeah,
and she says, you've got to come, you just got to come, oh my God, the world's falling apart. Yeah, you go.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because you know that she needs you.
Mm-hmm.
And your brothers, they'll call you and there's a problem, you're there for them.
Of course.
You know the gypsies?
Yeah.
The gypsies have very, very strict values.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm saying this is because just because you think it's a value doesn't make it good or bad. It just is. See what I mean? And when the Gypsy culture, you know that their values are very obvious. One, their values are that they're true to each other. And outsiders are not welcome. Right? You can't just bring somebody from the outside and say, hey, mom, look at my boyfriend. It just isn't done. See, even the teenagers know that they have to respect the values of the culture.
Yeah. You remember this TV show that they put not a long time ago, the Voice for Kids. The Voice Kids.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't.
In Spanish, Telemundo.
Oh, okay. No,
it was the same show, but for kids.
It was very good in Spanish.
And there was a gypsy guy, 12 years old, and if he didn't got the first place, since he no ganaba, he had to marry someone.
Really?
Yeah. At 12.
So he had to.
He had to.
Did he win?
No.
Oh. He had to marry this person.
Yeah.
Yeah, because their values are very rigid. See? And he's 12 years old, and he doesn't know that. He doesn't have to marry somebody at that age, at least not in our culture, but in his culture he does.
And for him, it was something very natural. He just, you know, if he got, he didn't win, but if that was the case, the marriage, they were, ¿cómo se dice? Lo aplazaban.
They would wait.
Yeah, 2 or 3 more years, just to see what happened, you know, with his careers and everything. But if he didn't win,
he had to marry
the girl, 12 years old also.
There you go. And you know that the gypsies, they steal. That's how they survive.
Mm-hmm.
See? And they go into a store, not just one or two people go into the store, the whole tribe goes into the store. So they could have like 20 people going into a store at the same time. And everybody has a job to do. So somebody has the job of keeping the cashier busy or the employees of the store busy while everybody else is stealing.
Yeah. They are organized because this is their way of life.
That's their way of life.
I had a boyfriend, a gypsy boyfriend.
Oh, yeah?
I had a boyfriend many years ago.
Uh-huh.
And he played balalaika. He was Yugoslav.
Okay.
And it was a grown name.
Uh-huh.
And he played and he had, you know, he had a career. He had a career. But even he was stealing watches and whatever.
Of course, that's
and
what they do.
You know, today they got 1,000 francs, and they spend the whole money the same day.
Uh-huh.
These are people that they don't keep something for tomorrow.
No,
they live today.
They don't have a bank account.
Everything
is done amongst them.
Yeah.
They don't trust outsiders. I'm surprised that you had a boyfriend that was.
It didn't last too much.
Of course. The thing is that when we have our values, those are the things that guide us. Our values are the ones that more or less create for us the our daily life, what we're going to become. You become what you become based on your values.
See, of course.
So if you value the life of other people, you won't be killing them. But if you don't value the life of another person, like serial killers, they don't care about the life of anybody. See? All they care about is what they want to do and what they want to do now. So when you have values, and we're going to go over some of the values that we're talking about. So we have being honest. Now, when you talk about being honest, what does that mean?
First of all, being honest with me.
Oh.
Because
You can lie.
Well, look at the gypsies. They lie and they steal, but yet they have values.
Yes. See? No, but I mean, you can lie to another people and invent something to justify something. But you know, this is a lie.
Exactly. What happens is that most people lie and then believe the lie.
Yeah.
So if you're going to lie to somebody, it's very important that you don't fool yourself into thinking that what you're saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of times when we lie, we take a little piece of truth and then the rest of it is not true.
Yeah.
See? So, for instance, you're going to be late for work. You know you're going to be late for work because you left the house an hour after you were supposed to leave. Had you left an hour before, you would have got to work on time. However, you didn't. So now you get to work and you say, traffic was really bad. And it was. It's true, traffic was bad. But you weren't late because traffic was bad. You were late because you got up late and you left the house late, and therefore you got caught up in all that traffic.
Mm-hmm.
See? So we'll take something that's true and not, you know, we lie by omission.
Yes.
In that case. Where we don't say, well, you know, I got caught up in traffic because I left late.
Yes.
And that's what happens when I get caught in traffic. And so it doesn't matter why you were late, because another value is integrity.
Yeah.
See? Integrity means that you say what you do and you do what you say. And so if you're late for work, it doesn't really matter why you were late. You're late.
Of course. When I was a teenager, terminando la primaria, empezando la secundaria.
Finishing.
Yeah. Finishing
primary.
Yeah. I just started the secondary and
middle school.
And my school was a little far away from my house because I studied music, and
right,
there was one school in the city. And in Cuba, we had a lot of problems, you know, public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
It was very difficult. And so to the school, everybody was late. And they say, no, the guagua, the bus, mm-hmm. you know, it didn't arrive. And I look at people and I say, listen, I have to leave my house 3 hours before the time I had to be here. Because I know the bus is not coming.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good
excuse. That's not an excuse. You're late.
You're late.
Yeah. You're late. You're late. You weren't there. Why didn't you do the report? Because you didn't do it. Not because the dog ate my homework.
Yeah.
Put it where the dog won't get it. And it's interesting how we make excuses for so many things. And then we start believing it. And 20 years later, we're still telling the same lie.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because it worked then, and now we can continue to say it, and now it's true because we say it's true. Who's going to prove different?
Yeah.
See? But the thing is that we do it all the time, and it becomes a pattern. And when you're not honest with yourself, like when you don't want to take responsibility for your actions, see? Then it becomes an issue. If you want to be happy, you want to live in peace and love. You know that mark of clothes?
Yeah.
Peace and love equals happiness. It's important that you want to live in peace. You can't live in peace if you're not honest with yourself.
Of course.
If you're living a lie, you're not being honest, and it doesn't matter. See, the thing is, I know this guy who's fooling around on his wife, and he's always looking over his shoulder because he has several girlfriends. And so I say to him, I say, he says, oh no, he says to me, oh, it's okay, I have girlfriends, blah, 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 as long as my wife doesn't know. And I say to him, why wouldn't your wife know? If you're being honest, why wouldn't you be able to tell her? Oh, because it'll hurt her. So you know that it'll hurt her if she knows. Do you really think that it's not going to affect her in any way by not knowing? What's going to happen when one of these girls, one of these days, gets pissed off and goes to your house?
Yeah.
See? Mm-hmm. Or meets her on the street. Or you don't know what kind of crazy people you're dating. See? You get somebody that's obsessed with you, and that one goes to your house. Or one of your friends that knows about what's going on lets it slip. She overhears. What will happen? Oh, well, she'll leave me. Really? And you'd rather risk. It's okay for you to risk your relationship. This guy, I work with him, and every woman that's worth looking at, according to him, he talks them, and he talks them into, let's go in the back. See? I don't know what they're doing in the back, but I know that I'm not comfortable with it. And I tell him, you can't do that. These are your clients. You can't do that with these people. But he thinks it's okay. He doesn't see the problem. And I said to him, well, if your girlfriend, if your wife found out about it, would she be happy? Well, she's not going to find out.
You know
how many people work here that don't like you?
You know what? The least of his problem is going to be that his wife finds out.
Yeah.
He will get a lot of other problems.
He's got big, humongous problems, yes. Well, that's the whole idea, that we think he lived a lie, but he believes the lie. He thinks it's okay. It's no big deal. See? And one of these days, one of his clients is going to protest, you know, and come in there and tear the place up. It's a good thing my office is way somewhere else. When I hear the shooting, I'll hide. Okay, being compassionate. What does being compassionate mean?
Understand the other people, you know.
No, that's another one. That's not it.
Compassion.
Compassion is showing goodwill, generosity, being charitable, considerate, kind.
Mm.
See? When someone is going, you know, we have a lot of homeless people. And I hear a lot of people say, oh, those bums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, those bums are human beings that are down on their luck. And who knows? They're there because they're drug addicts, or they're there because they're alcoholics. And, you know, a lot of those people are very well educated. They're doctors and lawyers and engineers and soldiers that came back all messed up. See? And they're human beings, and you don't know their story. See? And they're there because they don't know how to be anywhere else. Showing compassion, you know, when a person is drinking and they're out in the streets, they live in the street, and they're begging for money, you don't realize that alcohol is their medicine. And when they're out there jonesing, like we say in the business, where they're shaking and you can see that they need a drink really bad, that's called withdrawal. And that's very dangerous for the alcoholic because sometimes it'll kill. Withdrawal from alcohol will kill you. Mm-hmm. So when you're a chronic alcoholic and you need a drink, your medicine is another drink if you can't get them to a hospital. See? And they don't realize in their fogged up state, they don't realize that they're in deep danger. So, but we don't. We say, oh, look, he's lazy. No, he's not lazy. He has a disease. You know, there are families, whole families with children living in the streets, bathing in public places. See? And being compassionate means offering them a plate of food. They're hungry. See? Being kind. In daily living, every day, we run into people that we consider non-persons. We don't even see them. Our waitress. See? the cashier in some place. We don't see them as being human. We see them as somebody that's serving me.
Yeah.
See? And a lot of times we're not very kind to these people. And we need to start becoming kinder to people, more compassionate about what's going on with them. You see somebody that's upset and angry and cursing and whatnot. Look beyond that and say, you know, I wonder what they're hurting, what their hurt is that they have to be so angry about. You don't know. See? They may be harboring a lot of anger over something terrible that happened to them. Mm. Who knows when? But being compassionate with other people is very, very important. It's a big value. Having courage. What does that mean, having courage?
I don't know. Courage to para afrontar cualquier tipo de situación.
Courage to stand up for your convictions.
Ah, okay.
What happens when sometimes you see something, some cruelty going on, and you don't say anything, you stay quiet? See? Mm-hmm. Courage, a person who has courage does what is right, even in the face of personal consequences, rejection by others, or danger.
You see it all the time.
Like now what's going on in Venezuela, a lot of people are getting killed, but they're standing up for what they believe in. What happened in the Ukraine, right? And they were able to, they had the courage to stand up for what they think is right, and they got what they wanted.
Yeah.
See? Now Venezuela has to.
They need to resist.
They need to resist. Yeah, and they need to stand up for their conviction. When you say, you know, as a woman, I have found myself in jobs that are for men, supposedly.
Yeah.
Right? They're male-dominant jobs. And I haven't been treated very nice, primarily because, and it's not that I've been treated bad, but I've been treated indifferent, like I don't know what I'm talking about.
Hmm.
See? And I've always stood firm. And when somebody, you know, because sometimes men will say things in front of women, say derogatory things in front of women, and I'm not the one that's going to stay quiet. You realize you can't say that. Do you realize that I can very easily write a letter, you know, for discrimination? You know, I've done it at my job when somebody has said to me, you got a nice ass. And I tell them, really? You really want to tell me that? Because I do not have a problem writing you up. And then they back off. But then now they're calling me a bitch. What they don't realize is that I don't have a problem being called a bitch. And I will tell them, and I have told them, queen bitch to you, my friend. It's not, you know, they want to see me upset, and because I'm a woman, and only because I'm a woman, and only because I stand up for myself. So they're going to want to make my life miserable, see? And I will not stand for it. I will stay quiet and put up with, you know, be a victim.
Yeah.
See? So where I work, they in the beginning they didn't, but now they really respect me because they know that I'm not playing with them. And you're willing to sacrifice. You have to be willing to sacrifice. I've been willing to sacrifice my job if I have to, but I'm going to speak up. You just can't do certain things, not to me.
Yeah.
And not to my fellow females. However, if my fellow females want to be victims, that's up to them. See, I'll stand up for you once, and you have to back me up. You don't want to back me up? That's fine, then. Knock yourself out, you know, but then you can't complain to me. You have to maintain self-control. That's a value, see? A lot of these people that discriminate don't have any self-control. They hate you because you are who you are, because you're black, you're orange, you're yellow, you're green, whatever it is, you know, you're a woman, you're short, you're big, whatever it is, that they want to discriminate about, okay, they can't maintain self-control. So they don't have that value. But it's very important that you do maintain self-control, because you don't know when you're going to lose control and then get into big trouble. And you have to ask yourself, do I really want that kind of trouble? See? You have to be just and fair. That's a value. Being just with other people, being fair with other people. And you can see it all the time. Look where you work. Some people who are doing nothing are getting away with doing nothing while everybody else is working and working hard. That's happening at my job now. One person had complained that she was doing too much work, so they took her workload away and gave it to somebody else who's doing just as much work. See? And so it's not fair to the people who are working hard to take over the work of somebody who's not. So now this person is working less while the rest of us are working more. Not me, because I'm not part of that, but I can see what's going on. You have to be cooperative. Cooperate. What does that mean?
Help.
Cooperate. It's very simple. I give and you take. You give and I take. See? It's not a I give and I give and I give and you take and you take and you take. You have to cooperate. You know, sometimes you're told, oh, you're asking for too much. You know, just because I do something for you, you want something back. Yes, I want something back. Yes, because that's what it's all about, cooperation. We work together. A team isn't just one person doing everything. The pitcher isn't the team. Okay, so he throws a good ball. But the other people who are up at bat, what are they doing? They're saying, no, I don't want to do it. You do it. Here, you bat this time. No, everybody has their job to do. And in a team, you succeed because everybody does their job. See? Everybody gives a little. Everybody takes a little. So your responsibility is your responsibility, and mine is mine. And it's not right that I need to do your job and her job and everybody else's job. And this is called codependency, because there are people that feel that I have to do everything. No, we work together and we all chip in whatever it is that we need to chip in. You need to cooperate one with the other so that you can succeed. It happens in families. You see it all the time. Everybody works in a family for the most part, except for the little children. And the people that don't go out to work are working in the house. They're taking care of the children. They're taking care of the house. And everybody else goes to work, and everybody pulls in all their money, and then we all survive. See? Mm-hmm. I was amazed when I went to Puerto Rico years ago. Everybody was working, even the young kids. You're 13, 14 years old, you got yourself a part-time job. Whatever it is, it may be something simple, handing out newspapers, whatever it is, but everybody worked. And everybody at the end of the week, when they got paid, they put their money all together, they gave it to daddy, and daddy put it in the bank. See? And everybody survived that way. And then everybody got a little allowance back. So when you're cooperating with those around you, and it's not just cooperating with your family, it's cooperating with everybody else. See? Whenever you can give somebody a hand, you give somebody a hand. Perseverance. What is that?
What do you need to leave?
Perseverance, working hard, focusing, staying focused. When I was going to school, and this is when I discovered it, when I went to do my bachelor's, it was really, really easy. I mean, and I can't read. I'm dyslexic. And yet I found it very, very easy. Because first I had a computer. Second, I had everything recorded and I would listen and I would do my work. I found it super easy. When I went to do my master's, not so much. I was still, you know, doing the talking books and the CDs and stuff like that and writing papers. My computer would correct, spell check everything. And so everything was fine. It was just new information that I was learning. And so it was a little more difficult. But I stayed focused. I stayed completely focused in what I was doing. I didn't say, oh, this is too hard, because it was hard, let me tell you. New information was very difficult. But I worked in a place. I worked in a psychiatric facility. And whenever I was asked a question, I would, in my mind, see one of my patients. So they said, oh, schizophrenia, paranoid schizophrenia. Oh, that's so-and-so. And I was able to do associations, and it was difficult, but I was focused, so therefore I was able to do it. I remember thinking every time I had to take a test, an exam, I would say, if I fail this exam, I'm done. That's it. I won't come back. And every time I took the exam, I passed it. Sometimes just barely, but I passed it.
Yeah.
See? And so it's important to stay focused, be persevere. Don't stop just because it's difficult. Don't give up easily. Keep trying despite of the hardship. Self-reliance. Always make sure that yesterday I had a class. I didn't have a class. The person that was giving the class went blank. And she said, please do the rest of the class for me. And I said, okay, fine. I had no clue what I was going to talk about. No, well, no, that's not true. I knew what I was going to talk about. I knew what I had to talk about because it was on the syllabi, but I didn't know exactly where the information was, the specific information. I got on the computer right there in front of the class, right 2 minutes before it started, and I went click, 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 and all the information came up. See?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, good, I'll pick this and I'll pick that. And I was able to talk for 3 hours.
That's not a problem for you.
Not a problem. From 1 to 5, I was only going to talk for an hour and then let them go home. And it just got so interesting. And they loved it. The students just loved it. They kept asking this question, that question, and that question.
That's good. When people participate.
Yes.
That enriquece, ¿verdad?
Enriches, yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I was very surprised because when I went up there, I said, I have no clue what I'm talking. I'm really going to make a mess out of this because this is her class. I didn't, you know, I was not prepared at all. But yet, because I know my material, I was able to find what I needed to find and do what I had to do. See, that's a value, knowing what you have. I didn't say, oh, gee, I don't know. This is kind of hard. What if I don't find the information? I said, no. I know exactly what. I have to do something on screening and stuff like that.
Yesterday, I normally start to sing at 9.
Uh-huh. At night?
At 9. And like at 7,
mm-hmm.
My percussionist called me that her car broke and she was far away.
Mm-hmm.
And she called the tow truck, and she was waiting and just to tell me that she had this problem. And I said, okay, what do you want to do? No, I'll be there. I'll be there at 9. I'll be there at 9. I think that's not going to be enough. 2 hours, you're far away. You need to wait for the truck. At 8, I called her 1 hour before. I was leaving home. And she told me, I asked her, where are you? Same place.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was an accident and, you know, the traffic was impossible. So I asked her, do you think you're going to be there? I don't think you're going to be there.
not at 9:30.
No. You know, this kind of person that doesn't have any idea of time.
Right.
But I knew it. So when I arrived, I didn't have time to call another musician. That was really something that happened like that. So I arrived. I knew it. I didn't have her, but I have the other guy, the flute. And I told myself, okay, so I'm going to start in a different ambience. You know, I have to create something here that we don't need the percussion. And if she doesn't come, she doesn't come. I try to make that work. And we started, and that was fantastic.
Really?
Fantastic, because I never do that, because usually people come to dance, and so I started very
mellow.
Yeah. And it was, I sing songs that I never can sing there, because, you know, the people are, but everybody was quiet. I sing, you know, and also half an hour. So she arrived.
Ah.
And when she arrived, that was incredible, because, wow, that was like a big show.
Right.
All people thought that was prepared like that.
Really?
yeah, people that don't, you know,
they don't
come every day.
Right.
They thought there was like that.
Oh.
And it was nice. But you have to be prepared.
You have to.
To do whatever you need to do.
You have to know what you're talking about. You're a musician. That's what you do. You can't go up there now and say, oh, well, the percussion is not coming, so I can't sing.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, but we can't make it today.
No.
You go in there, you improvise, and you do whatever it is you need to do. And that's the way life is. You don't give up just because something changes. Change is the only thing that is consistent. Did you know that? It's the only thing that you're going to see that is always happening. Change. And if you don't adapt to the change, see, all my life I was a secretary.
Mm.
And when computers came out, all the secretaries didn't have a job anymore. One, because they didn't want to learn something new. They've been doing it this way forever. I'm not learning anything new. And so there was a big wave of people leaving their jobs because of the computers, because they didn't want to learn something new. Those of us who said, oh, if I want to continue working, I got to learn this. Right? And it was the best thing that ever happened, because that changed my life completely. See? And so when you persevere, when you just stick with it, no matter what, go with the ups and the downs and the, you know, move. Don't just stay stagnant. You know what happens to water when it stays stagnant? It gets stinky.
Oh,
swamps. That's where the swamps come from, because then the water doesn't move. As long as it's moving, it stays clean. Okay, how about keeping promises?
Mm.
How many of us, you have a niece.
Yeah.
Right? And that little girl, you can't promise her something and not keep it. I remember one time Betty said to me that she had told the little girl that she was going to go pick her up the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And she really wasn't too happy about wanting to pick her up. But the mother called and said that she was already standing by the door waiting for Betty with a suitcase.
Yeah.
And you pull it to me. And you had to say, I got to go get her. She's waiting.
And that's what happened. I think it's incredible, because you tell her she's six. In the same again. She's six now. And you tell her, next week, Thursday, we are going to do something. And she knows. Thursday, she will be asking for you. But she called. She made her mother call.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm waiting. When are you home?
When are you coming? So that is Thursday. Okay. 12 midnight.
No, she wakes up very early.
Oh, yeah, like at 7 or something like that.
She expects you to be there.
Yeah, she expects you to be there at 7. Yes, it's keeping your promise, but that's integrity. You said you were going to do something, you have to do it. That's the main problem that we have with our kids today.
But you know, it's the same, I know a lot of people, Latin people, that they tell someone, are you going to be at home tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, I'm gonna pass by to do whatever need to do, or to talk about you, or with you, whatever. Okay. What time? About 2. Okay. So at 2, I see this person that is supposed to be in the other side, you know, in this appointment. What are you here? Why you are not in the with this person? No, but she's at home. No problem. She's at home. Okay, she's at home. Well, she's waiting for you. Do you know if she wants to go out or to do something? And she's waiting for you to finish with you and go out with her. They don't respect your time.
They don't. I have clients. I have one client who works in real estate. And sometimes, just as she's coming into my session,
real estate is, you know, I know a few people from real estate. They have
no time.
No.
But this one, she got a call one day. And she says, and I hear her telling the person on the phone, she has an hour session with me. See? And she says, yeah, I'll be there in 15 minutes. Okay, bye. And I say, but you're going to be here in 15 minutes, aren't you? Or you're going to leave early? No, I'm going to stay with you the whole time, but she can wait.
Like that, they don't respect.
They have no respect for that. That's why when in a Hispanic event, now I don't know, but I know for the most part in Hispanic, a birthday party, they say 6 o'clock, that means they're going to start at 9.
You know, you announce the show, the concert that is going to start at this time,
and people arrive 2 hours later.
2 hours later.
And you are supposed to wait for them.
I was invited to speak a while back at a place. And when I got there, nobody was there. Not even the people that were supposed to be there. And so I waited a few minutes, I made a call, and they said, oh, yeah, we're on our way. When they got there, they started setting up the place, maybe 20 minutes after I got there. And then people started arriving 2 hours later.
I sang for a few years with another girl, and she came from, she's Cuban, but she came from living in Mexico for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in Mexico, all the people, artists that I know that comes from Mexico, they think they know things that not all the people knows. And they say an artist can make you wait. You know, you have to wait for an artist.
Yeah.
What artist? You are what?
Exactly.
Okay. We have this project together, and I remember I was always suffering because of the time. I like to arrive early to see the place, to see the people, what is happening, to, you know, to put all my things. Once we had to mount the sound to play, the time we were supposed to start playing,
you were still mounting the sound.
No, we were at home.
What?
And I said, but they can wait. They listen. What? That was horrible.
Oh my God.
I suffer a lot.
Oh well,
because these people, you know, they don't respect.
They have no sense of time. That's why they call it Latin time.
Yeah, but for me, you know, Latin time and that's funny. But the real thing is they don't respect the other people. They don't respect the other life.
That's right. They don't. And you wonder, and they wonder why they don't succeed.
Yeah.
All right. Do no harm. Mm-hmm. Consider the potential for physical or emotional harm to others and avoid them. Avoid harming other people. You know, you know that when you say something derogatory to somebody, it's going to hurt them. It's abusive. It's harmful. Why do it?
Yeah.
Why call somebody stupid? What's the purpose of that? See, we don't understand that, yeah, sticks and stones may break my bones and words will never harm me. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. But words do harm. See, why call somebody names? And why push somebody? Why get into a fist fight? What's the purpose of that? When we do that, we're trying to control somebody else. When you really want to hurt somebody, that's a form of manipulation.
Yeah.
And it's abusive. What's the purpose of that? How is that going to make you happy? Unless you're a sociopath. Sociopaths love that.
But I think we are grounded to this. Estamos rodeados.
We're surrounded.
A sociopath.
Yeah, to some degree.
Oh my God, I know a lot.
The thing is that, you know, what is it going to hurt to be kind to somebody? To be considerate? To cooperate? A lot of times we say no to people just because we want to say no, because they said yes.
Yeah.
See? And that's why people like that are never around me. I don't have people like that around me. Under any circumstances, because if you're going to do it to somebody else, you're going to do it to me, and I'm not putting up with that. That's why I don't talk to my sister.
Yeah.
See? Because when she yelled at me, and she constantly yells at me, she doesn't realize. People don't realize that what they're doing is not correct. You can't hurt other people. You know, you can't just go around yelling and screaming and cursing at people and calling them names just because you think that you have the right to do that. No, you can't do that. See? Pursuing excellence. Take pride in what you do. You know, we talk about being prideful and it's a bad thing. No. Why do you take a bath? Why do you comb your hair and brush your teeth and put on makeup and put on nice clothes and put on cologne? Because you're proud of the way you look. See? I want somebody, they get close to me, they can smell how good I smell.
Mm-hmm.
See? I don't want to walk around smelling sweaty and yucky. And
yeah.
So we take that. You know, use deodorant. That's pride in ourselves. We have pride in our children. Right? Why do we dress our little kids up? If we weren't proud of our children, we'd just let them go to school in broken sneakers and dirty clothes and don't brush your teeth. You don't have to brush your teeth. Don't worry about it. Don't comb your hair. No, we take pride in ourselves and in our family. Right? My kids, because I don't see colors too well, and sometimes my daughter especially, she'll say, Mom, you're not leaving the house in those clothes, are you? What's wrong with my clothes? Because they don't match. Because you have two different color shoes on or something like that. Your socks don't match. And this has been going on all my life. My kids used to go to school with one brown shoe and one black shoe. You know, until they got old enough to say, no, we can dress ourselves, thank you. See, but you have to have pride in yourself when you walk out the door. I have a cousin who's beautiful. All her life she's been beautiful. And she wouldn't walk out the door without makeup, full makeup. Now, not so much because she's older. But when she was young, she would not walk out the door, even if she was going to go out and throw the garbage out. She would get all dusted up and put on all kinds of makeup and, you know, really look pretty. She was proud of herself. She was proud of her looks. See? And we have to have that kind of pride. I'm not talking about the proud, being proud in a sense of that you override everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't know. I'm talking about our personal pride in ourselves. Why do we go to school? Why do we read? Why do we learn things? Because we're proud of, you know, who we are and what we do. Why do you pick this job and not the other one? Because you like this one and you feel good and you feel comfortable doing it. And that's pride.
This is part of our self-esteem.
That's part of your self-esteem. That is right. And you notice that when you don't feel well and you're a little depressed and you're down and you don't want to get all, you know, you don't want to get fresh and want to do that. Or you wrap up your hair and put a hat on or something like that. But still, you put the hat on because you don't want everybody to see that you, you know, the hair is yucky. So, taking personal responsibility. What is taking personal responsibility? What does that mean?
Being responsible of your decisions, of your...
Not just your decisions. Being responsible for your decisions.
What are you feeling? Are you feeling?
That is correct.
Yes.
When you take responsible for your feelings, if you're angry, say you're angry. Recognize that you're angry. And I sometimes will tell people, you know what? Don't talk to me for the next hour or two because I'm really not feeling that hot. I'm a little upset about something. And so I will let them know. And even if I don't realize that I'm upset about something, if I talk to somebody harshly and they look at me like, you know, because I usually don't do that, then they look at me like, oh, what's wrong with you? And I have to tell them, I'm not in any mood right now. You know, just leave me alone for a little while and I'll be okay. But I have to tell them because people aren't mind readers. They don't know. And especially somebody who doesn't know me. Mm-hmm. Well, I know when my kids are sick, I'll tend to be a little testy. I'll tend to be a little, you know, grouchy. And so I have to know that my kids are sick and I tell them, look, right now I'm going through something really difficult and I appreciate it. See? And so I can very easily go off on somebody. See, when I'm like that. But I have to be able to tell them. Then if they want to keep bothering me, then, hey, I told you, no, don't bother me because I'm in a bad mood. Get out of my face. So it's important that you respect. Respect your feelings. Understand that your feelings are yours. Take responsibility for them. I'm not responsible for your feelings. I could curse you out, and it depends on how you take it. I could say good morning to you, and you could say, what do you want?
Yeah.
You know? Or I could curse you out and call you every bitch in the book, and you laugh. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what other people do. It's how you respond to what other people do. And you take responsibility for that. And look at this. It's almost time.
We're yes.
Almost finished. So remember, I'm Dr. Mitya.
I'm Alma. And just reminding you that letting go of old systems, the inner work journey, it's the book that where you find a lot of tools for your happiness, for your live your life in a better way. It's available in Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, and all the digital.
And remember the book Letting Go of Resistance will show you how to get rid of depression and anxiety. The exercises are there.
So we'll be back next Sunday at 3 and in Spanish Fridays at 2:30 p.m. So if you know someone that maybe is interested in Spanish, tell them. Thank you and bye.
are listening to Inner Work with your host, Dr. Nydia. For more information on Dr. Nydia, please visit her website at www.draniidia.com, Dr. Nydia. And for radio show information, visit www.earthangelsradio.com. That's EARTHANGELSRADIO.com. Dr. Nydia will help you to face your inner self.